What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hey, Locamores. So in case you are new or you are new to our Patreon, we wanted to let you know that we have some quick updates. You can head over to patreon.com/locatora_productions and subscribe to our Patreon at different tiers. For $5, you get bonus episodes to all of our Locatora Radio episodes. For $8, you can join Locas por Libros, my monthly book club. And for $10, you can listen to behind the scenes extended episodes of Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads created and hosted by Mala Munoz. And if you are a super fan, a ride or die, you can join Locamores Anonymous for $25 a month and get access to all of the above. So head on over to patreon.com/locatora_productions to become a patron.
Locatora Radio. A radiophonic novela.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Munoz
and Diosa Fem.
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome back to season 5 of Locatora Radio, Podcasteras Peligrosas. Listen at your own risk.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela, which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
Thank you for tuning in to Capitulo 113. Thank you for coming back to our weekly show of Locatora Radio.
Last time on Locatora Radio, we interviewed Amanda Matos of Planned Parenthood. You really want to tune into that episode, Capitulo 112, because it really and truly is chock full of vital information regarding the state of reproductive freedoms in the United States. In case you didn't notice, they're under attack yet again, but in some extremely brutal ways. Amanda Matos breaks it down. We ask really important questions that we think our listeners probably want to know the answer to. So tune in and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think.
And just a quick reminder, you can follow us across all socials. We're on Instagram or on Twitter, and we are keeping up with the youth, and we are even on TikTok. You can follow us at Locatora_radio on all of our socials. We're also on Facebook, by the way. We don't advertise that enough, but we have a Facebook page for the older listeners that are tuning in.
Our mature listeners, our distinguished listeners. We are multi-generational here at Locatora Radio, so of course we are on Facebook, yes. And if you are looking for a fandom drain and aspire to be our human wallet, or you're just a big old fan and want to support indie podcasting, you can head on over to our Venmo and drop a couple dollars at Locatora-Radio. All proceeds go directly back into production costs. That means paying our audio editors, because we have multiple now, our artists, all of our hosting fees, you name it, it costs money. So we thank you for your continued support.
Yeah, and just, you know, as a final thank you to all of the folks that contributed to our iFund Women campaign, 90 days to 100K. We are tying up those loose ends, mailing out the merch. We are signing up the final consultations, doing the podcast webinars. We are doing it all. And so we want to thank you all again for contributing. In case you didn't know, fundraising is a full-time job, and that's why at each organization is its own department. And so I think we did really great, considering there's two of us, and we had, of course, other folks helping us, but
sure,
for the most part, this is still a two-woman show for certain things. And so that was one of them. And so, yeah, just thank y'all for your patience. We haven't forgotten about any
of
the final things we need to mail out. It's coming. It's happening. It's been route. We're doing it. So thank you for rocking with us.
Thank you for rocking with us. Truth be told, we're overwhelmed. We're going to talk.
That's a good segue. Like,
We're overwhelmed, y'all.
We are low-key burnt out. Have to admit that considering 2020 was a intense year for all of us, and it affected us financially as well, like for the podcast. Like, if you're a listener, you know that we've gone on university circuits. That's like a big way that we made our money and our income. So that was greatly affected. But it also, you know, gave us that room to get creative and level up in different ways. And one of those ways was selling ad space, which meant producing more content, being more on social media. It's when we had our LA Times feature. It's when we got verified. A lot of really big, incredible things happened to us in 2020 as a project, as Locatora Radio. And so I think that we're a little burnt out this year. You know, 2021, I think it's all settling. It's all settling in. We did a lot with what we could. And so that's where we're at.
Yeah, I agree completely. I echo all of that. I mean, you know, we have two weekly shows now, and running a weekly show, getting our LLC. We are now Locatora Productions LLC, mind you. We are now a true production company, because we are a company formally in the eyes of the federal government. We are formally a company. So that took time, and we're still working on that, because now that's another layer. That's an ongoing thing. Any business owners out there will know that you have your LLC. So that means now you have a lot more work. Now the work is ramping up. And I think part of it is, you know, the work is ramping up. We have more responsibilities. Vyosa is still working full time, you guys. Like, you have no idea the lengths that we go to, like the way that we run ourselves raggedy to deliver this supreme content to you guys. Like, this is good stuff, you know, and we really do give it our all. So we love it, and that's why we do it. But it's a lot. So we're a little overwhelmed. We're a little burnt out, but we do have tons of help. I mean, our audio editor, Jordan, is everything. Jordan came on to our team, onto Team Locatora, like this time last year. And since then, the audio on the podcast has leveled all the way up. We're able to produce more shows. We're able to be a weekly show. We're able to, like, do more with our segments and with our guests, and we know that it's in good hands and that our audio editor is going to make it sound good. And it just also is like so much hard work that Diosa was doing to edit the audio. And so we're so grateful for Jordan, and it's like so much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And I think Jordan was one of our first like hires of 2020, mm-hmm. Which was really exciting for us because, yeah, it like got overwhelming for me to be putting out the edits and the shows, and then our deadlines would get like, I would want to put an episode out on one day, but I wouldn't be able to edit it in time. And then it was just a cycle, right? So it was really great to be able to bring her on. And we have, you know, more folks on our team that help us with our socials now and our newsletter. And so remember to subscribe to Besitos. You can subscribe on our website. And yeah, so the team is growing. And even though the team is growing, the workload is also growing. And though we are still doing a lot, even in different ways. And so, yeah, we like we'll see, like we're gonna revamp season six. That feels wild to say, but season six, there'll be some changes. We're already talking about it. But yeah, I mean, we're almost like we're more than halfway through 2021, which is intense, which is wild. We're still in a pandemic. We're still dealing with all the aftermath. There's a variant, you know, and so we're doing the best that we can. I think we all are, and everyone listening, we're doing the best we can. And so just, yeah, we're going to keep it pushing.
We're going to keep it pushing, because we have some pretty lofty goals in mind, you guys. We don't share all of our hopes, dreams, aspirations, and schemes with you all because, like, the el mal de ojo is real. Yep. So we like to guard our secrets. We share them with the right people.
Yeah.
And then the right people help us to, like, make them come to fruition. You know what I mean? So just know there's more. There's always more. And that's what we want, is we want to make more podcasts. We want to do more. So while we're overwhelmed, it's a good, exciting kind of overwhelmed. Yes. And, you know, what's next, and just pushing to that next level and what's the next thing. So expect some announcements.
Yeah. You know, I think when you're juggling so many things, like you have your days where you feel like really low and really down. Like I know I've definitely had those in the last couple of weeks where it's like, know, why is my life this busy? You know, why am I still working my 9 to 5? And then there's other days where it's like things just roll and it's seamless. And it's like, yeah, this is just my life right now. And so I think anyone that is juggling tons of things, working multiple jobs or going to school or everything, right? Because we're all busy people. I think anyone can relate that, you know, you find your rhythm and then you lose it and then you find it again.
Yeah, it's very true. And I think like for me, because I quit my job right before the pandemic, you know, and, you know, I've had my own streams of income. Like I've been on OnlyFans. If yes, you guys keep up, yes, you've known have. That. I've returned to OnlyFans. And I've honestly, like, supporting myself and paying my bills has come from doing like my fun little odd jobs, whether it's OnlyFans, freelance writing, influencer gigs, you know, different kind of speaking engagements. We work with a team who helps us, like, bring us gigs and stuff, and like sponsorships and collaborations. So luckily, and honestly, I have fewer expenses than Diosa, you know what I mean? So I can kind of live like a very low key little like cheap life over here while like working on Locatora Productions, you know, yeah. While working on the podcast. So that's just kind of why, if anybody was wondering why it is that we like have this arrangement, it's just how it's worked out, you know? Because when we do podcast gigs and when you guys donate that money, we do not pay ourselves like off of the podcast. We really don't. And the money goes quickly because we have 2 weekly shows now. And that means our expenses increased twofold. Yep. Or what, 100%?
We have two audio editors now. Luckily, you know, Mala is handling the socials for all of the Marihuanera, but we do have someone handling the Locatora socials because it's a lot. And so, yeah, like I said earlier, like, sure, we're growing and we have more people, but we also have more work. Yeah. And like, I'm like, okay, Gideon Production Company, okay.
I know, right? We literally asked for this.
Nobody forced us to do this. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's an exciting place to be. I like always refer to this time as like the growing pains, and just like, shout out to us because like we made it past 100 episodes. We're 5 mm-hmm. seasons deep. Mm-hmm. They say businesses either like fail in the first 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
We're entering year five.
Yeah.
You know, we've been an informal business for about 5 years.
Yeah.
But we're now like a formal business.
Very. And it's not under the table. It's just in the Venmo is what it is.
It's just in the Venmo.
Yeah,
I mean, in case anyone was wondering like the ins and outs of it, it's like, whenever we get a check made, we would just rotate who it was made to, you know? So we can't be doing that anymore. Our accountant was like, got to do the LLC.
Yeah. A lot of people have kind of told us for a few years now, and we knew, but, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Anybody, if you're on Twitter and you're on Instagram, mm-hmm. just get an LLC, just do this. No, it's not just, no. It is very involved. It is very complicated. It mm-hmm. costs money and it takes time.
It also depends where you live. Like, we were chatting with somebody that lives in upstate New York, and she was like, it's like, I'm making a number up, but it was really mm-hmm. low. It was, she was like, it's like $80 to do an LLC, right?
And can't relate.
In California, any business owners listening, you know, your annual state tax that you have to pay to the franchise board is $800. Mm. And then there's still other fees that you mm-hmm. have to pay. So don't listen to LLC Twitter, y'all. Like,
they don't know.
It's not just that simple. It depends where you live. There's a lot of different factors.
Yeah. And we're dealing with audio. You know what I mean? There's a lot that goes into this. We're not just selling chucherias, okay? Like, it's involved, okay?
We love our chucherias, but that's not what we do.
It's just not what we do. So if you don't know, just listen and you might learn something.
So we want to give some updates on some things that we're working on before we get into like the carne of today's episode. We're turning a segment that y'all love into a full-fledged episode because there's so much going on. And so we're going to get to that in a minute. But before, just want to remind folks that our book of the month for Locas por Libros is The Taste of Sugar. And it's a historical fiction novel. And it's by Maricel Vera. And she's actually going to be joining us at the end of the month to talk about it. It is a long book. And so if you don't finish it, that's okay. If you feel intimidated by the length, it's okay. Read what you can. I've like been super busy and haven't been able to really make a dent, but I'm working on it. And so, yeah, just come at your own pace. Enjoy the book. It's not school. It shouldn't feel stressful. So we'll be chatting at the end of the month. So again, head over to patreon.com/locatora_productions to learn more.
And for those of you who maybe haven't heard the news, we launched a brand new show. It's called Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. There is a trailer out and 3 episodes. Episode 3 just came out. It's called Smoking Tree, Watching Reality TV. So I'm the creator and host. It's a comedy podcast. You can tune in anywhere you listen to podcasts, leave us a review, give us a rating. And you can also read my interview with writer Ruby Mora in The Mujerista. I talked to Ruby about Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads, and destigmatizing cannabis in Latinx communities. Go give it a read.
Yes. Also, can I just say, in my totally unbiased opinion, Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads, is hilarious.
Thank you.
It's funny. I listen weekly. I like was able to listen to the first episode before anyone else, but now like I listen with y'all, I listen with the listeners. So I'm tuning in weekly. It's hilarious. There's a lot to look forward to with either the guest or with Mala's musings. Y'all know how Mala is. You're a listener of the podcast. You know she's funny. You know she's dope. You know she's smart. So tune in. And you know, just like, I'm here for the destigmatizing in our communities. You know, my mom for a while was like sneaking like her cannabis use because she didn't want my dad to know because she has like ailments. But she like finally told him and she was like, what do you think about this? And he was like, it's fine. But for a while it had to be like this little sneaky thing because she didn't want him to get mad. And so, yeah. So like our people, our older folks, our gente, our family members, they need cannabis for many different reasons, or maybe they don't. Maybe it's just for fun, and that's cool too. So yeah, I'm here for that. We'll link the article in the show notes, and we'll also send it out in our newsletter.
Yes. Yes, yes. Thank you, Diosa. There's so much good stuff coming out of the Locatora multiverse, universe, audioverse. We haven't necessarily landed on which verse we are yet, but we're one of them.
We're all of them. Just interchangeable.
We do contain multitudes. We really do. And I would like to point out that everything Locatora Productions touches is successful because Locas por Libros was like a wild success of a book club before like the first book was like even announced, I want to say.
Yeah, we're like 60 plus members deep, and you know, that's exciting considering we're just on our second book. And you know, maybe one day, like, I would love, like, okay, well, no, I don't want to share too much, but one day I would love for it to be sponsored by somebody in particular, right? Like, I would love for it to be a collaboration with like a publishing house, right? So we'll see. And if any folks that are working publishing are listening, emails, like, we can definitely talk about that. Because we've already gotten multiple emails from different publicists that want it on the book club. So, you know, there's tons of possibilities.
And if you would like to sponsor any of our many, many projects over at Locatora Productions, email us. We're hola@locatoraradio.com. We're down for a collab.
Podcasteras peligrosas.
And now I think it's time to get into not only weird things white women did this week, but weird things white people have been doing recently, namely with regards to hygiene.
Yes. So we wanted to take one of y'all's favorite segments and turn it into a full episode because, you know, just let's start from the beginning. A couple years ago on the timeline, on Twitter, white people were talking, in particular white people, I'm not generalizing, this was actually a thing that white Twitter users were admitting, that they did not wash their legs. Because in their words, the soap that you use on the rest of your body washes down onto your legs when you're rinsing, so you do not need to scrub, right? This is a thing. If you were not familiar, haven't heard of it, you can look that up. It's a thing. So that happened a couple years ago. Fast forward 2021, we're still in a pandemic. Hygiene is especially important right now.
Right.
And Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher go onto a podcast and volunteer information that they do not shower daily.
So there's so many layers here because I don't know if we chimed in on the initial like washing your legs conversation. I don't think we remarked upon it on the podcast.
We
did.
We were just, you know, horrified entre nos.
Yeah. But now it's enough of a pattern. It's really just picking up speed, honestly. Like, I feel like in the last 2 weeks, they just boom, 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 more and more celebrities talking about not bathing. With the legs thing, okay, you tell me, because growing up, it was always a thing about like fucking scrubbing the shit out of yourself, like vigorously, your ankles, your feet, your toes, your legs. And especially because I'm like, I've been shaving my legs for years now, and you have to like scrub and exfoliate like before and then also after. Like, I don't understand scrubbing my knees, especially like being an athletic kid running around outside. With my mom, it was always like, we cannot be running around fucking mugrosas with dirt caked on our legs. So that sticks with you. Like, we scrub, we wear sandals in California. We wear shorts. Like, our legs are exposed. We have to scrub or else, like, you look dirty, I think. right? Or at least I was taught. So I didn't understand the leg thing because how do you shave? How do you wear sandals? How do you scrub the dirt off?
No, I second that. I remember, you know, being taught to vigorously scrub the different areas of your body, especially your toes, your feet, your legs, all of it. I mean, my mother taught me my hygiene, right? And so that was definitely one of them. And so, you know, fast forward to 2020, I think that now there's a different conversation happening, or there's another layer of the conversation happening that's not just about bathing, but it's like, who gets to be, quote, clean, or who is deemed cleaner in society, right? Why is it that white people can get away with saying they don't shower when it's historically been Black people, people of color, South Asian people that are deemed as dirty or have to in some ways overcompensate and make sure that they look extra clean, or they smell really good, or they, you know, brush their teeth multiple times a day because they don't want to have bad breath. Like all these things that we're taught that's really important. There was a whole class missed by said white people.
Yeah. And I'm remembering now, remember when we went to the gym downtown and we were in the locker room? Downtown LA, was it a 24-hour fitness?
It was an LA fitness.
And Dios and I were there together because there was a time where we would have podcast meetings and then like go to the gym. Like we did that a few times. That was cute. And so we're there and there was a woman who was like on the phone and talking to somebody, and like, you know, we're in the stalls or we're getting changed or whatever we're doing. And we hear this, overhear this woman, and she's on the phone and she's like, yeah, this gym's kind of dirty. There's like a lot of Mexicans here. Verbatim. Like that's what she said.
Wild.
And I've heard this before. There's a thing that people have about Mexicans and being dirty, and like Mexican kids
the dirty Mexican. It's like, yeah, it's a stereotype, thing. A racist stereotype for a reason.
Yeah.
A lie, clearly.
Because who's cleaning your house, bitch? Who do you literally hire to clean up after you? Not just Mexicans, of course, but anybody who is being stigmatized in this way, right?
Well, and I mean, and that even like, that's its own layer of like every Latino being Mexican, right? In the eyes of many people, there's no need to specify because everyone is Mexican,
right?
You know, in certain people's eyes.
And therefore dirty.
And yes, exactly. I mean, I remember my first experience, in undergrad when I lived with a white woman for the first time and like really seeing the lack of hygiene up close, and I was appalled. And it was kind of like a joke, not for me, but like she thought it was so funny that I was like appalled that she wouldn't shower for days. And she was like, she would ride her skateboard around campus barefoot, and then she would come home and I could see her fucking pies, you know, todos sucios hanging from her bunk bed, you know. And meanwhile, homegirl would tell me that I was, quote, ghetto. And so, yeah. And okay, so,
first of all, based on what?
Based on my hoop earrings, bitch.
Oh my God.
Based on my hoop earrings, she would be like, she would say that I was ghetto.
Or Lord.
That
I,
you know? So, yeah, that was my first experience up close and personal.
The barefoot thing around campus is a lot.
It is.
That's a lot.
If you have ever been in Santa Barbara, if you attended UC Santa Barbara, if you partied in Santa Barbara, you know that that is a thing. The white people there are barefoot.
In
class, everywhere. They are barefoot.
I am afraid sometimes to wear flip-flops outside. Like, depending on where I'm going, I won't even wear chanclas because that's not enough, you know? So I don't understand.
Yeah.
Aren't they afraid of glass, of injuring the underside of their foot? An injury on the sole of your foot is really inconvenient.
That's painful. Like enough to take you out for a while. Like if you injure the bottom of your foot.
I don't know.
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 I don't know. But But I mean, okay, so going back to Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, right? They also shared, and this is where Mala and I were like, we actually need to talk about this on the podcast. For, I mean, aside from it being like kind of funny and kind of like, what the fuck are y'all doing? But it does take an interesting turn here where Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher say that they also don't bathe their children daily because supposedly it's like bad for their skin or it's a lot to bathe children daily. So I don't necessarily know how true that is because I do not have children, right? However, I would imagine I remember being bathed daily often.
Oh yeah.
A child.
All the time.
But something that I was thinking about when I read this was like, wait, children get taken away from their parents for a lot less, you know, and so bathing and hygiene is like a really important part of parenting, I would imagine. And I know that when I was working as an organizer, that was the thing that would happen to mothers where their principals would call them because their kids were supposedly quote dirty, but it's like, oh, actually they didn't have laundry detergent. They couldn't afford to buy laundry detergent, so their clothes was dirty, but they were showering, but the clothes was dirty. And so there's like these red flags that are raised by certain like school administrators, but these celebrities are going on a podcast and saying they don't bathe their kids daily, but that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah. And this is like, so there's so many layers, right? Because like cleanliness and hygiene, the way that it's the standards are held for different people, like even like I think women are expected to be way cleaner than men. Like I don't think men are expected to be clean, and I think that there's tons of conversation and evidence online of men talking about they don't know how to wipe themselves after they take a shit. Like they don't do it, or they don't know how, or they don't want to, or they don't like to, because there's some weird homophobic thing that they have going on where they will not wipe themselves. Like they talk about this openly. And then women are like, found out my fiance doesn't wipe his ass. I tried to get him to do it.
Remember this on Twitter. Oh my God. I remember this conversation.
And there's so many of them. And that's just one of them. So it's like, who can get away with being just filthy and like literally just caked in their own feces, like walking around? I saw on TikTok also just going on about like, just this is just stuff we're seeing online or whatever, you know, on TikTok, there's this one account and she's a wax specialist, and she on video, she shows herself melting like the wax pellets and mixing the waxes. And she's telling stories, just the audio. And she was saying that she has had like tons of experiences with customers who are like regular customers who go in for Brazilians and they're not clean. They haven't showered. They've like gone number two earlier. It's just caked. It's disgusting. She's like, I've had to like have them wipe themselves down. I've had to wax around it. And she was like, I have one customer who's a regular and she always shows up like this.
First of all,
when I get a Brazilian, I am so self-conscious. I like, same. I like plan my meals and my schedules and my cleaning, yes, and my shower and my undies, and everything is on point. I'm, yes, ready.
It's 100%.
Like, it's more stressful for me than like having sex with someone. Like
it's true. Like you're spread eagle talking about going to brunch. Like you're talking about like very casual things while you're spread eagle.
And fluorescent lights.
Like, I will plan for, yes, I will plan my workouts around it. Cause I'm like, wait, okay, I can't go in workout clothes because she's going to be like, okay, this asbestosa didn't shower before coming. Right. So ew. So I won't do that. Mm-hmm. But also you can't shower. I mean, you can't work out after you've been waxed because it's like not good for your skin. And like there's things, right? They tell you don't work out for 24 hours. So I'm very strategic in timing out like if I'm going to be active that day, and making sure that I look clean and I showered and then the whole thing, because I want to be like presentable because this woman's going to be all up in me, literally.
Literally.
I'm appalled.
I know.
And but you know
it
what?
Also doesn't surprise me.
No, I'm not surprised. And I used to get waxed at the European Wax Center in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. And like one of those wax technicians, I remember she was telling me like in person, she's like, yeah, some of these women in Pasadena come over here and they are not clean. Like they don't seem prepared for someone to be waxing their business at all. So oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, girl, it's a thing. And I want to be clear too, like there's also a lot of conversations and like even like theory and sociology and writing and stuff out there about like cleanliness and body hair and body mm-hmm. odor and like even like racism, like in
absolutely.
These in these ways, like in different ways. And you know, there's so many things that go into hygiene, like when folks like have disorders or they have skin issues yes. or gland issues, like people have like different scents and different smells and people are the way that they are. So we're not here to like
not
body shaming and you know, sometimes mental illness can affect hygiene and cleanliness, but it's this is more like people who are just like, oh no, I just don't wash because I don't think that I need to and I mm-hmm. don't think that it's important at all or a necessity. Which is wrong.
Yes. And obviously we don't know like the mental health of these people, but these are very affluent people.
Very.
That are saying they don't like to bathe daily. Right. This isn't somebody because I know folks, I've also read, you know, on the internet, people talk about being depressed or having a bipolar disorder and they don't shower for days because they literally cannot get out of bed. Again, like Mala said, that's definitely not what we're talking about. We're talking about the people that choose not to because they don't think it's important or they don't want to or they don't like to. Like, you know, a couple of days later, Jake Gyllenhaal was like, I don't shower every day either.
Not Jake. Not Jake.
I'm sharing this info. But I'm happy to report that Chris Evans says that he does. A shower because now this Thank is God. A thing like
it's
they're
a thing
asking
now.
They're asking people what they think about this and if they shower daily and I'm like this is okay what like alternate universe like where are we on the simulation where we're now asking celebrities if they shower daily.
Now, and let me just say too, if I'm a celebrity and I'm going to be around all kinds of people who are going to be talking about me, taking pictures of me, tweeting about me, probably you know, going home and, hey, I interviewed so-and-so today, or I met so-and-so, or mm-hmm. people talk about everything. She yes. had weird toes. Her manicure was chipping. She smelled weird. You know, like, I would be, if I was at that status where I know there's the scrutiny and people are so, like, mm-hmm. really on you, I think, I don't know, I think I would be even more,
yeah.
like, self-conscious about everything, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as it is, there was, like, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago where I hadn't gone to the dentist because of my insurance. I was having issues with my insurance. And so when I went, I like knew like I need dental work. I need a root canal. I need this. I need my wisdom teeth pulled out. And I remember telling my mom, I was like, mom, I am horrified that a listener were to like meet me and be like, Diosa has bad breath. Like right. literally, that was like a thing for me. And I'm not Jake Gyllenhaal status tampoco. Like tampoco soy la gran cosa. But
yeah.
because we meet people regularly and in our daily lives, like we'll be at the mercado and a listener will find us, right, or see us and say hi.
I
feel self-conscious and I don't ever want to be like, I had bad breath that day or I hadn't showered that day and I felt like, you know, not as cute and
yeah.
All the things I think about, like, I want to feel like anytime I leave my house, I brush my teeth before I go. Like, mm-hmm. it's for me, it makes me feel better aside from like smelling better or best or whatever have mm-hmm. you. Like, I also feel better.
Oh, yeah. I feel way better after a shower and everything is scrubbed head to toe. And, you know, of course, like many of us do not wash our hair every day. Like, I don't wash my hair every day. Especially right. if you have like thick hair, long mm-hmm. hair, textured hair, what have you, that's like ill-advised, but
of course,
but you know, so we'll go work out, we'll run or skate and then go run errands. Mm-hmm. I've been at my local Dollar Tree
chancluda, like I like to be, you know, when I'm off and I'm walking my dog and I'm just in. If I walk to the Dollar Tree for like some toilet paper or for some supplies or whatever, I'm getting some dog food, I'm in my slides and I'm cash. And I've had people at the Dollar Tree be like, Mala, is that you? And I'm like, dear God, why? Because don't let the press features fool you. Don't let the good reviews fool you. I live in a studio apartment above my grandma Nacha's garage, honey. And we still live paycheck to paycheck, my dear. So we do what we can. And we're living our regular ass, like, LA girl lives. You know what I mean? Don't come for me, ho. If you see me out and about looking a little dingy, hit the Venmo at Locatora-Radio and donate.
Yes. That's where
we'll get there.
We'll get there. That's where we're at on the simulation. You know, where media press is asking people, specifically white people, I assume, if they bathe. My favorite was The Rock being like, I shower twice a day. Like, and he has like his different regimens for each shower. I also shower twice a day, even pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Because it is what it is. It's what makes me feel better.
And look, as former student athletes and now as adults who still engage in athletics, like, yes. If we had a 2-a-day practice for cross country, if we had a 6 a.m. practice, we showered after that practice, mm-hmm. went to class, had an afternoon practice, and then showered again after that practice. And these days, if we're out and about and we're exercising or doing things, I just like shower after everything.
Yes.
If I'm going to go out that night, I shower off the day mm-hmm. before going out.
Yeah. Even like coming home at 2 a.m., I take a shower before I go to bed. I have to be like extremely messed up.
Yeah. To not.
Blacked out. To not show, which doesn't happen often.
Sure. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not there anymore, but like I have to, right. It'll be la madrugada and I'll be taking a shower before bed because it just, your bed is like, you know, if you're lucky to have, you not share a bed with anybody, or even if you do, you know, being able to be in your sheets and like feel like clean and safe and good, like to me that's like one of like the best feelings, and so I value that and I want to take a shower before I get into my very comfortable bed.
100%. I know we're gonna get some comments or something about, well, in the campo you can't shower like that all the time. Guess
it's
what
true.
People in the campo it's are true. Still very fucking
still
clean.
Very clean
still very clean. Fucking clean and find
ways.
It doesn't need to be, you know, U.S. 30-minute scalding hot showers with...
Nobody has time for that. Okay.
With bath bombs and a rinse, dear. A rinse, you know? A quick scrub.
Yeah, I mean, also,
a quick lather.
I live with my family, as many of you know if you're a longtime listener. I do not take baths. Because for me, like, if I'm going to take a bath, I need to scrub the tub before...
Oh, sure. Yes.
There's three people that use the shower. And so I'm not taking a bath tampoco because everybody does what they need to do in the shower. If I had my own bathroom and, you know, I had was the only one that had access to it, that's different. So tampoco, you know, but we get it.
We know you
people,
guys.
People
we
have
get
access
it. We know.
To different things. People have access to different things and, you know, what works for you works for you.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking about white people that want to be nasty for no reason. Also in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And there's like a very coded long history of who is considered clean, read white, and who's considered dirty, read black people of color, Mexicans, Latinos,
immigrant people,
Asian people, you know. It's also like partly why maybe some people overcompensate or the cleanliness is very important to them because they've been taught by their families because they've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be on point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to, quote, smell clean or smell a certain way or look a certain way It's a part of how we navigate in this world.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. And, you know, of course, like all things, we speak about these things having had our own experiences and having learned these things ourselves in our households, not as like sociologists talking about this, like, you know, because like it as if it has nothing to do with us, but it has lots to do with us, right? Yes. Which is why we're talking about it. So, I mean, that being said, I also encourage you guys to start looking into content having to do with like the monarchies back in the day and how the palaces were filthy places, like filled with human waste because they had no plumbing.
Right. That was like one of my favorite comments or like feedback when the Bridgerton series came out. Someone was like, nobody was smelling that good. Like nobody was looking that good either during those times. Like it just doesn't make sense. All the layers of clothing that they had to wear.
Yeah, no, they were smelly. They were definitely really, really smelly. So I don't know. I just have to think there's some residual stuff. Growing up, my dad said so many things to us growing up that now I think I'm like, dear God, this man. But like one of the things that he would say to us was that like white people historically are dirty and that Native peoples and that African peoples, Indigenous peoples basically taught hygiene, or that European colonizers learned hygiene and waste management and waste disposal and sewage and internal plumbing from Native communities.
That is actually historically accurate.
Yes.
Like, yeah, he's, it's accurate. Not wrong.
No, that's the crazy
1,000%
thing.
1,000% true.
The crazy thing he said to us was that if he has any Spanish blood in his body, he would push it to the tip of his pinky finger and then chop it off. That's the crazy thing he said. Not the hygiene thing. That's true. But then he said the pinky thing. And I was like, Dad, that's wild.
Yes.
This is how I was raised. Okay. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious. I would love to hear folks' thoughts on like their own experience with hygiene and like how they were brought up. Because I think there's, I'm sure, a shared experience for our community, but I'm also positive that people have their own, either doing things a certain way or not doing things a certain way. So I would love to hear what folks have to say about that.
Absolutely. And again, if you have ideas for topics and things you want us to cover, if you've noticed a trend or some weird little happenings online or in the world, maybe we can comment. We're always looking for different things to talk about on Locatora. We don't have an interview this episode. We're just chatting, you know, and I love these episodes. I love our interviews, of course, because our guests are amazing. Yeah. But when we get to just dig into like a topic like this, it's fun.
It's fun. It's fun. And we like to, you know, be able to balance it out. I think the last couple of episodes have been interview heavy. So yeah, it's always fun to come back to like what we do and dive into something comedically, also have like a serious take on it. I think that that's where we thrive. And so yeah, thanks for tuning in to this Weird Things White People Did episode.
Thank you very, very much. And yeah, leave us a review, leave us a rating, drop a comment. You know, we love to hear from our listeners and you guys always have interesting things to say after an episode. So yeah, thank you for tuning in.
All right, Locamores, we will catch you next time. Besitos. Besitos. Locatora Radio.
A radiophonic novela.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Muñoz
and Diosa Fem.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.